Welcome to the Coffee with Karen podcast, a weekly chat show discussing everything from holistic health to current affairs from a mental, physical, and spiritual perspective. Get your weekly cup of positivity with a sprinkling of woo-woo.
Awesome. Welcome to the show. Today's Thursday and this is going out on Mint Wave Radio. So you can ask Alexa for Mint Wave Radio or you can go to the website, karenrobertscoaching.com/mintwave-radio. Listening live, take a look at the schedule for the rest of the week if you're watching or listening to it on a podcast. Again, you can see other podcasts on our network, the website /podcast-network. And download the app for Apple, Android. Please subscribe to any podcast that take your fancy and follow any, or feel free to leave a comment. So today's episode is 126. And today we have Andre Paradis. He's a relationship coach, NLP coach, educator of effective communication strategies, workshop leader, public speaker, 2 times Amazon number one best-selling author and ordained minister. So today, it was the last thing I was expecting. So we'll be talking about the dance of masculine, feminine energies that flow in nature. I'm your host, Karen Roberts, owner of Mintwave Radio Station and the Raising Vibrations podcast network. This is all about having a platform for coaches to get their message heard to the people who need to hear it. So, Andre, welcome to the show.
Good morning. Good afternoon for you, I understand, but it's still morning for me in Los Angeles. So, yes. Hi. Nice to be here. Absolutely fantastic.
And would you, you've got a fascinating story, so I'd love to really just start with that before we move on to the topic. For the people listening, Andre, on top of being an educator, a coach, artist, and definitely a people person, Andre has been a teacher and educator his whole life. He taught around the world from Japan to Bangkok, and back in 2006, he started studying the male-female dynamics purely by accident. His discoveries were so profound that he soon immersed himself in research and the teacher in him exploded, teaching to his amazing discoveries. Project Equinox, which we'll touch on later on, was born out of the need to pass this knowledge onto the world. So where do we start, Andre? Can you share a little bit of your story, how you came to be doing what you're doing now?
All right, so I'm going to try to make it a short story because it's a long story. And I'm a little bit bored of telling my story, though it makes sense because then it explains how I get to be here and why you should even listen to me, right? As a man, as a coach, as a teacher, as a mentor. So in a nutshell, I was born in Canada, French Canadian, in a snowbank. I say it in the wrong place in the world because I love the sun. But a funny thing happened when I was 5 years old. I actually came to the conclusion when I put my thinking and my feelings together, at 5 years old, my consciousness could actually communicate feelings and thoughts, that I realized I was born in the wrong family. I don't know how that's possible. It was just weird. Like, these people didn't like me. I didn't like them. I was born in the wrong family. The stork had dropped me in the wrong place. I don't know. But this is like, and quite terrifying as a five-year-old. Honestly, like, it was really weird and terrifying. So what happened to me is I kind of became externally vigilant watching the world, you know, like just trying to understand how that's possible. Like, how is this possible? I have 4 siblings. There's 7 of us in the house. I don't exist. I'm transparent. I don't blend. What? So that became sort of my way of operating in the world. I started watching everyone, everything, you know, just trying to sort of also protect myself in that, what's coming at me, right? Because I'm invisible in a lot of ways. So it is a whole safety that, anyway. So that became the way I looked at the world. I was always an observant and I was watching people. So I became fascinated with the human condition because people are fascinating and how somebody turned out this way and this way and why me this way and this. And, you know, so carry my life this way, kind of isolated, alone. I watch, you know, the kid is always outside of being popular. I'm a watcher. I can't really blend in. I don't fit in anywhere. That continued outside in school. But I went to a private high school when I was just about to turn 16. And we had such a PE program. Physical education was so fancy, private high school, that you could take ballroom for PE. And a beautiful young girl came up to me, which I didn't know she knew existed because it was the invisible dude, says, "Oh my God, you want to take PE? You want to take ballroom with me? We have to sign as a couple. I need a partner. You want to be my partner?" And I'm thinking, like, she's this big, cute little thing. I'm like, yeah, duh. Right? Like, I'm a dork, right? And now I'm going to hold this girl in my arms in a dance class. Okay, whatever, sure. So a week later, we ended up in class. And this was what the first sort of revelation or gift or whatever you call it. I remember holding her in my arms. The teacher's on my right, about 10 feet away. And whatever he did, it was a male teacher, I could just copy it. I'd copy it instantly. And it was more than bizarre. It was like I already knew this. And I could just like recall it, like a memory. Like, it was insane. So a gift, okay, the geek is now has some talent. I was good at nothing. I was awkward. So what happened is within 4 months, I went from geek to star. Because within 4 months in class, I became the guy that all the girls wanted to dance with because I got it right away. I could actually take him on the right instantly. I don't know how. I just owned it. I had it. I became the teacher's assistant. And all of a sudden, like, we started doing shows in the school. We went on and performed outside of the school. We started a troupe. And now all I could tell you is, in that first class, I think, like, I just came to life. There was something about movement and music coming together. Like, singers are very aware of this, right? When singers, like, hit that note with the music, the rhythm, and just that tonality, right? Often they start crying because it just vibrates and it moves your soul. Singers know this very well. Dancers also, good dancers will connect with that. So there's something about music and moving your body and vibrations matching. That is incredible. Like, if that's why dancers get addicted to dancing, because that becomes who they are, not what they do. So that's all I wanted to do. I smiled for the first time in my life, I think, in that class. And that's all I wanted to keep feeling. It lifted my spirit. It made me feel alive. So ridiculous, because how are you gonna make a living in Montreal, you know, doing ballroom dancing, right? No such thing. But that was obsessed. Like I said, there was nothing else mattered. My parents hated it. I was supposed to go to school, become an architect. Okay, beautiful. Anyway, so by the time I turned 19, and really, like, things were really going awry within the household, and nothing is working, and we're enemies, I just took off. I got on the plane and flew across the country to Vancouver just to get away from everyone and to get away from the snow. Because Vancouver, Canada has no snow. That was one of my prerequisites. I get there, and as I want to continue dancing, because it feeds my soul, there's no ballroom dancing in Canada, in Vancouver. Back east, where I was at in Quebec, it was everywhere. Every club, everywhere was ballroom dancing. It was so popular. That's what we did on Saturday nights. We went out with fake IDs and, you know, broke into ballroom clubs to swing. There were ladies around, me and my buddy. It was ridiculous. Such rebels, right? Drinking orange juice and dancing with the old ladies. That's what we did. It's that much fun. So I get, but it was everywhere. So back on the West Coast, no such thing. Ballroom doesn't exist. It's just like Arthur Murray, which is not what we do. Interesting. So I end up in a jazz studio, jazzercise, hand jazz, you know, jazz hands, yeah. And headbands and leg warmers, right? And I remember auditing a class, looking through the window going, that is not what I do. Like, you know, an hour of conditioning, physical conditioning before you even start dancing. You know what I mean? We don't do this in ballroom. You change your shoes. You warm up a little bit, you go. So I remember thinking, okay, well, so I ended up taking a class, which kicked my butt. I was sore for 7 days, could hardly walk from the stretching. Never done that before. And then this challenge was like, this is kind of hard. I like a challenge. So I ended up taking class twice a week and then three times a week. Now, within 3 months, this is, again, the insanity of my destiny, I think. It was a destiny. I didn't know at the time. But within 3 months, I got a scholarship, which means I get to train any class I want throughout the week for free. After Brilliant. 3 months of chastening, it's like, you can't do anything. Like, I don't understand how that happened, right? I mean, really, you can hardly stand up straight. But I found out later that I have this skeleton. I have the perfect skeleton for the business, my legs, my feet, my turnout, like, you know, my proportions, whatever. So, and I had a flair. So that people would encourage potential, and that's how it started. So long story short, I ended up never paying for my training ever for about almost 5 years. I ended up in a ballet studio because you want to structure, you know, ballet is the basic of form, strength, alignment. A very fancy ballet studio that nobody could afford. I go to audit one class. They take me on in a scholarship. It was crazy. So, and I realized we still had the idea of going to school. I was doing this because it lifted my spirit. But like, what am I going to be when I grow up, right? Like, that's still, right? What are you going to be when you grow up? Like, this is, you can't make a living in this stuff. What can you? Mm. Right? So as this kept happening without me trying, and the doors are opening up and opening up and opening, it's pulling me that direction. I'm like, I don't know if I can hang with this kind of lifestyle. There's no security. I mean, it's kind of ridiculous, you know, like, but then I thought, you know what? It's the signs are all there, really, since 16. There's a way to make this lucrative if you're good, if you end up in the right places with the right connections. So anyway, I decided to give it 2 years. I thought, I'm going to try this for 2 years, see if I can make a living at this, if I can do something with this. And if not, then I'll go back to school. I'm still young, whatever. Well, long story short, I ended up traveling to Los Angeles. Somebody from there that used to come and travel up north to teach us in summer camp or whatever. So one of the teachers, one of the LA dancers, choreographer, would come up on a regular basis, asked me to come to LA to help him do his demo reel. So like actors, you know, choreographers do the demo reel, the, you know, samples of their work and the reel that they shop for gigs. So he says to me, he goes, come to LA, I need you to be dance captain. Of all the people he knows in Los Angeles, he wants me from Canada to come and be dance captain. Flattering. He goes, you can stay with me, bring your girlfriend, spend 2 weeks in LA, you know, have fun, we'll do the stuff, and then you guys have a kind of a vacation and blah, blah. Okay, beautiful. So we drove down, got into LA on the Thursday evening, and the studio where we did the rehearsal for the, you know, the choreography for his work, the studio we used that Saturday night had a party for dancers, local dancers. So all the people that I want to be part of are gathering together where we rehearse. You know what I mean? Like a dancer's party in Los Angeles. These are working dancers, all my age, doing what I want to be doing for a living, but I'm Canadian. Anyway, so all I can tell you is my own Hollywood story. It's my life. So I'm at a party with my girlfriend. We're dancing. Hey, we're in LA. Hey, right? There's like 200 people. And then in the corner on my left against the wall, everybody's 25 years old. This is old guy, 50 plus, looking at me. Right? So I'm thinking, we're a good dancer, right? But what happened is, kept looking at me, and then I go, oh, shit, we're in LA, right? Okay, I get it. Uh-huh. So, dancing with a girl, dude. But whatever. That, I mean, right? It took me a minute to commit it. I'm a little naive at the time. Like, okay, yeah, I got it. So, anyway, and then my buddy who asked me to come down to LA now is talking to him, and they're clearly talking about me. I can see they're looking at me, right? Like, and I'm like, what the hell is he doing? Right? And then he waves me over. I'm like, are you kidding me? Now, back then, it was still polite. Today, I would flip them off. But at 24 years old, 25 years old, like, you know, like, he's still kind of, anyway. So he's trying to just introduce me to the old guy. I'm like, what is he doing? He knows me. Anyway, so he introduced me to Steve. And I got an attitude because I think I know something is happening here. So I turned my head as I shake his head. Yeah, nice to meet you, whatever. So my buddy grabs me by the elbow, and the exit door was right behind me, and he throws me outside on the parking lot. He goes, listen, motherfucker. He goes, this is Steve Merritt. He's got a national show. He's looking for a dancer, and he likes you. How about you say hi to Steve, you idiot? Oh, okay. So, different story. All right. So I go inside, meet Steve, you know, and he says, a national show. He says to me, again, story. He says to me, in Los Angeles, He says, I lost one of my dancers for the show. I've been auditioning for 4 months. I can't find anyone to replace him. However, you're exactly what I'm looking for. What do you say? 2 days in town at a party. This Hollywood story. I go, huh? He goes, yeah. So he says, you know, we start rehearsal on Monday. This is Saturday night. I go, wait, so what's the show? Are you ready? He goes,
go on.
The Man of Chippendales.
Wow. Oh my goodness.
Okay. Well, so it's funny because dancers, like actors and actresses and people in the entertainment field that are legit, can be really snooty. And I'm guilty of that too at the time. Like, I'm like, I am no stripper. I'm a professionally, you know, a commercial jazz dancer. I've been training for, you know, almost 10 years, you know, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, yep. Okay, relax. He goes, so how much money are you making being a commercial jazz trad? Right? And I'm like, damn it, he got me.
Mm.
He goes, I don't need to strip. I need you to be part of the show. The dancers, the stripper strips, the dancers dance, but you get to take your clothes off here and there, but you don't get to strip, right? You get to show your stomach and stuff. Like, you need to be in good shape. You're part of the show. You're one of the men. You have to look like a man, but you're not a stripper. You're just participating and creating the stage, the energy on stage. Everything is a everything is a skit. Every number is a skit. Officer and gentleman, right? Workout skit. Somebody's birthday, we put a woman on stage, and this is a whole big, huge production. It was actually an amazing show. So anyway, of course, I take the job. My girlfriend is like, go. This is what you want to do. We knew me and her was just a temporary thing. We'd known each other for years, and it was just a summer kind of thing. You know, we're going to be married or anything. And off I went on the road. I did that for a year and a half. Party, had fun, made a living at what I trained for. And that was my first professional job. But within about a year, a little bit over a year and a month. Well, so there was four, we did 3 months, you know, segments. So 3 months, three months. So by the fifth cycle, I didn't want to do this anymore. It was fun. It was crazy. Women, drugs, party, you know, dancing for a living, no responsibilities. Everything's paid for. We get paid bunch, you know. So easy life. However, easy life comes with, it's interesting. This is, I understood the celebrity lifestyle then, right back then as a young man, because, and how, why everybody gets in trouble, because when you have fun every day, when it's just fun, party fun, sex, drugs, rock and roll, drinking, dancing, party fun, like sleep. That's all we did.
Mm.
No rent to pay, no phone bills to pay, no car payments. Everything was paid, right? We just stayed. Everything's covered. We show up and play day after day. Well, what happens is when normal life is fun, this is fun, then it gets normal, and normal is boring. So then you have to up the fun factor. And then a couple of months later, you have to up the fun factor, and then up the fun
There's
factor.
A
and
danger.
This is where it gets demented. This is why celebrities get in trouble, because they can't go in public, they can't go to the park, they can't go to the mall, you know what I mean? They have to hide from the world. They can't do anything normal, so they go from this mansion to that mansion, their buddies, their pal, right, their posses. They play pool, then of course the girls come in. We have to get the girls in, because a bunch of guys playing pool is boring. Drugs, alcohol at 10 o'clock in the morning. They work twice a month, maybe twice a year, some of them. Right? Mm. They have all the money, all the time, nothing to do. This is how it gets crazy.
But you need more.
It keeps upping, right? So these horrible stories that are coming out right now with pedophilia and, you know, like that's all up.
Yeah.
Right? So, and I noticed that it's almost impossible, because it's almost impossible to stay normal, grounded in this kind of lifestyle. You can't. It just sucks you in. It just, you know, I don't know anybody who managed to do it well. Look at the news, right? Like
unless you keep yourself to yourself. Keep themselves to themselves and stay out of that. But how many of them do that?
And you don't hear from them. Is what happens. They pull out. They start, like I did. So anyway, my point is, I moved to Los Angeles after all this. Fantastic. I learned. I realized I'm a very traditional. After that, that kind of lifestyle, I realized my brain is actually very traditional, right? I want to be married. I want kids and a family and a wife. If I keep continue this lifestyle, it's not going to happen. I'm going to be demented. Like one of the guys I've been doing for 5 years, my friend Kevin, he was a great guy, but I realized he was completely demented. He will, he'll never be able to have a normal life. The way he sees women, the way he sees life, the sees will, you know, it's insane. So like it twisted, you know, twisted, no possibility of a normal life. And that's when I quit. So my, they're all like, God, you're so stupid. It's the best job in the world. I'm like, yeah, no, you be you. This is just a job, you know, and I'm a dance, a trained dancer. I need to get back to training, right? I'm just dancing without training, right? You lose your rhythm, your timing, your finesse. Anyway, I fly back to Los Angeles. I get settled because I have money. I get settled. I get an agent and I start auditioning. Movie, television shows, you know, music videos are really popular, you know, all, whatever the industry calls for, which led me to dancing with Michael Jackson, dancing with Prince, dancing for Paula Abdul. Wow. Julio Iglesias, and like a thousand people that came in and out in one-hit wonders type stuff. Traveled the world, was teaching at the same time because that's part of the business. You go perform, you come back in town, you teach. When you, you know, when you work with Michael Jackson, you come back in your studio to teach, the class is full. You're the guy who works my, you know what I mean? So that's the business. So we teach and we travel and perform and we teach, we travel and perform and we, you know. So fantastic life. I get to live. Make a living at dancing. Who knew? Who knew? Right. So really quickly in Los Angeles, again, I don't know if you want to ask this question, but I think it's a long story.
Go on. Go on. It's, so, it's a fascinating story. You were in the flow from the beginning, following your passion, and things happened fast.
Fast. And seemingly.
But then you chose to change.
Well, you know, it's interesting how life shows up and you just what you do with it, right? And your value system and sort of, I'm a thinker, so I'm always thinking and watching. Again, I kept watching. This isn't right. This isn't right. Look at Kevin. Poor Kevin. He's done, right? I don't want to end up like him. Like, I'm watching. That's never changed. So I think I was in Los Angeles maybe 6 or 7 months. I was settled. I was teaching at like 14 classes a week in studios, various studios, you know, in between job. I had my radar up because I wanted to find a woman, my woman, number one. Like I'd done all the craziness, right? I'm looking to be with one girl. So radar, in every class, like, you know, satellite dish, always moving. Because I'm surrounded with 45 beautiful young girls all day long, you know? I'm typically the only guy, or the only straight guy. This is easy. It's going to be fine. And they're beautiful. They're thin. They're hot. But whatever. But nothing until my wife walked in.
Oh.
It was, I think it was a Monday. And the moment I saw her, I was cooked. I don't even know how to explain that. I was waiting for her. I was looking for her. And I knew that when I saw her that I would recognize her. I don't know what that came from exactly. I had a certainty about this, you know. I knew what kind of character I wanted in a woman. I'd done all the crazy stuff, right? And sure enough, she turned out to be everything that I desired. But it took 2 minutes. I just almost like when I first saw dancing, like I'd been there already, like I knew this. When I saw her, this is my woman. This, you know, and with the work that I do now, men say this all the time. This is going to be my wife. They see a girl the first time, like, that's going to be my wife. Like, men know first. Our intuition about this is insane. And most people don't realize that. Men know first. She had no idea about it.
But is that because you were intentional? You had this idea in your head. You knew what you were looking for.
But it's more than that, because I didn't know her at all. She could have been insane, right? Like, you don't know anything. Like, she could be a complete nutcase, right?
But you picked up on her energy.
I just, you know, and all I could tell you, it's not like I recognize her. It's not soulmate stuff. It's none of that. It was sort of, it was beyond us. That's the only way I can explain it. It was this is my girl. That's all it was. Like, there was certainty to this. And sure enough, we've been married for like 30 years now. I believe that.
Oh,
two kids.
Wow.
So within all this, she's looking around the corner smiling now.
See, it's lovely. It's lovely to hear.
Well,
come and say hello.
You want to say hi, babe?
Come and say hello.
Babe? Well, she's not going to have any makeup on.
Oh, I'm sure she's stunning.
She's a ballerina, by the way. So in the business as well, but different bracket of the business. So we ended up, you know, getting married. And when we started to start a family, I've been traveling and doing this job for 15 years. And when we decided to start a family, I was not going to be the absent dad. My dad was absent. My mother was absent. I raised myself, you know. So it was important for me. I knew how terrible that was. So it was important for me to be present, to be here to raise my kids, to not be in mm-hmm. Europe or somewhere in the world when they're in school. Like, you know what I mean? That was obscene. So I called my agent. And I said, okay, so big news. I'm not traveling anymore. So give me some work in Los Angeles because I'm not getting on a plane anymore. She's like, what are you talking about? I go, I just said it. So go with it. These are my wishes. I'm going to stay grounded unless it's in town. I'm not leaving. I'm not flying. I'm not going. I'm done with that. I'm not touring. Well, you're going to, I go, I know. I know exactly what I'm doing. It's like, you're going to kill your, I know. What I did is I opened a car business because I'm a car guy. My brothers, I have four brothers, and we're all car maniacs. So in Los Angeles, classic cars are everywhere. Back east, they don't exist. So I had that. I was like in La La Land here with the classics. I love classic cars, convertibles, right? So I opened an auto body shop, you know, to make it a business where I stay grounded and making money. And then it would tap into my addiction with old cars and restoring old cars and owning old cars and having a business to produce all that. I thought it was a fantastic idea. And it was. Within a few months, like the business exploded and dancing literally came secondary. This is when I worked with Paula Abdul, by the way. So for 2 years, me and Paula, I was at the shop all week. Friday afternoon, I'd fly to somewhere where we're teaching on the East Coast, teach the whole weekend, fly back Sunday night at 1 o'clock in the morning, land back at 8 o'clock, I'm at the shop. I did that for 2 years. Like I had like no, I mean, that's all. It was great. It was great. But after a while, like it was crazy. I mean, I remember 1 month I went 27 days without a day off at the shop, on the road, at the shop, on the road, 3 weekends in a row. Like I'd never, like it's just no day, you know what I mean? And then it became like, this is silly. You know, what am I
trying to do too much? Be a dad to your kids and just do everything.
Absolutely. Now the kids were little all the time. So I ended up letting go of all of that because as much as I traveled the world to get paid, now people come to me at my office to give me money. You know, I like this. This is a nice thing. But get this, I'd set up where the business was 6 minutes from my house and the school was 2 blocks away. So both Perfect. Me and my wife, both of us with every recital, every parade, every Christmas parade, every whatever was going on in school, 10 o'clock in the morning, I'm in the audience, and you know, with my wife. There's always mm-hmm. two of us be there for the kids. We're present. That was super important to me. But I had to set up my life for that, which is what I did. Change business. Anyway, phase two of my life.
So again, intentional. You were intentional. There's a pattern with you. Everything you're doing is very specific, very intentional, and everything is coming in alignment.
Yeah, and because I'm an entrepreneur by nature, seemingly, that I am aware this is all on me, and I design the way I want it. I'm in charge. I'm the boss. I do it. Right. So I design my life because it was always on me. You know what I mean? Like being in showbiz, you're an entrepreneur. You're selling yourself all the time. Like you have to. So your own business, right? My own man always. I'm the boss. I'm always the boss. Nobody tells me what to do. You know what I mean? So that sort of mentality continues. So I'm going to design my life the way I wanted. That was it. Now get this. So within all of this, because I'm a thinker and a watcher and never stop, I was also doing personal development my entire life since I was 23 years old. Personal development, business development, money development, personal development, what's wrong with me development, get your shit together development, right? And it's interesting that every type of personal development workshop always turns out to be about you, right? You want more money? You're thinking of the money. So everything always comes back to self, 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 which is fascinating. So the discovery and the digging for 20 years, I was doing this like all the time. My friends are like, you know, what do you mean you're in a workshop this weekend? You go, yeah, I'm learning to. They go, why? I'm like, what do you mean, why? My life. I'm learning some stuff. I'm managing everything I don't know. It's the stuff you don't know that's dangerous. This is also part of my work now. Like in the realm of relationships, men and women, is the stuff that you don't know that gets in your way that's dangerous. It's not what you think you know. So we'll talk about this in a minute. So in 2006, Mr. Workshop, Mr. Auto Body Shop, ends up in a work. I was in a workshop up north to raise the income on my business that I'd taken as far as I could with my knowledge. So I go and learn some more. Up north in San Jose, California. And a flight back to Los Angeles, I'd met this couple in the workshop, really workshop. And the lady says to me, "What are you doing next weekend?" I go, "I'm off next weekend. Why?" She goes, "You want to come to a workshop? It's on me." I'm like, "Yeah." I just got out of a workshop 3 hours ago, and she's inviting me to one next weekend. Yeah, that's my brain, right? Especially if it's on her, right? Those things could be super expensive. So they go, wait, what's the workshop? And she goes, "It's called Understanding Women." Really? Now, you have to understand, without arrogance, because I think my artistic ways, I always attracted women like my wife. Very sweet, very loving, easygoing, you know, women. Like, I never did the trauma, the screaming, and the madness that's how my friends ever. So I thought it was me. I thought I was something. I thought it was me, right? Not knowing. I couldn't explain it to you, but I thought, I got this. Like, we're going to teach me, right?
Well, yeah. What do I need to know? I've got it all sorted.
I got this.
In the bag.
This is always easy for me. Anyway, so I went because I said I was going to go. I'm a man of my word. Thinking I just ruined my weekend over stuff because they're going to tell me to be nice and sweet. And you know. Okay. Anyway, so I walked in there. There's a big hotel by the airport. And walked in a room with 400 people present. And I remember thinking, this is when I go, oh, okay, not cute. Something's going on here. Like, you could feel it. And I'll explain that. Like, you could feel there's something here.
Right.
Sat down, kind of just, okay, go ahead. Right?
Yeah.
The workshop leader started. And at the end of the workshop, my brain was all over the walls. My brain exploded. I seriously realized in that workshop that I knew nothing about women. But what was dangerous to me, upsetting, is that that means I know nothing about my wife. And I realized that things, why do women think things personal and how that's all wired in, that we don't understand because we don't do this. And, you know, the misunderstanding, the hurt feelings, the things that, you know, and what, how many times did I say, that's not about you? Why are you taking it personally? I know it is. I can feel it. Like, what? No, like, what, you know, you're a little crazy right now. Like, all this stuff that couldn't grasp on and understand, explained. I'm like,
right.
Holy crap. Now, you have to understand, we're together, you know, like quite a few years. I have a baby and a toddler, maybe a little old, 2 or 3 year old, I think. Everything's fine. We're not looking for this stuff. However, I realized, you know, it's, not knowing, I talked about this just earlier, is what I don't know and what is dangerous. And not knowing how she functioned, how she takes me personally, why, how do I need to communicate differently that she doesn't make assumption about my action or my lack of action, my words or my lack of words, because that's what happens to the feminine, right? That this is dangerous for a relationship long term. Like, I'm not going to be a liability or I'm not going to be a statistic because I didn't know. You know what I mean? That's my brain. Like, I'm not going to be all my brothers and sisters are married, divorced twice and three times, and one of us on four now. Like, I'm not doing this. I have my baby girl. I have my kids. I have the life that I want. I'm not going to fail at this because she is taking things that I don't mean to say, all that stuff, the misunderstanding, right? And the rum. So that's how it started. So 2006, ended up jumping into the company's entire curriculum. I took all their workshops, all of them. And then I started assisting all their workshops to be exposed to the work again. And then, of course, I'm a teacher. So a year later, I'm a workshop leader for them. Like, just natural jump, because I was just delighting in the stuff that I found out, the details, the finesse. Oh, my God, there was so much to learn, so much to learn. And that's how it all started. So I ended up traveling. I didn't stay with that company, too much politics. But I ended up, like, studying with other masters, John Gray, Mars and Venus, Shanti Felhan in the South, love and respect. Dr. Esther Perel in New York City, right? Now she's famous, at the time she wasn't. Dr. Pat Allen. So I have like five masters in the field of relationships in different angles, anthropology, psychology, chemistry, right? You can, like, the whole cocktail comes together under an umbrella of, woof. So I think my material without arrogance is untouchable. This is why I say to you, you can't corner me. Try, ask me a question, I can answer it. Whichever angle it is, right, with the human behavior and the dance of relationships. That's how I got to be here. Hello.
I mean, it is just absolutely fascinating. But you're obviously, whatever you do, whatever you find that you're passionate about, you're just soaking it up like a sponge and you want to know more and you're going in deeper. So like you say, what you've said there, there's different teachers, different masters teaching the different parts of it. And you're like, I want to know it all.
And that's really my brain. Like, I'm a curious human being. I'm curious about everything, everyone. All, like everything, if you have something that you know that's amazing, I want to know it. So even if I don't ever have to use it, that's just my, so that's sort of my default
system. But where, I mean, awareness is the thing. So like you say, there's going to, you know, so many people are just going through their lives, going, you know, living their lives in a relationship, totally unaware.
Yep.
And then there's conflict, you know, there's, they're attacking each other because they don't understand each other's point of view or how they're seeing things. Absolutely. And so then you're coming in and giving them the knowledge to be aware to make changes then.
Really, and really understand the other side, because what's, what I see this, you know, it's funny, 10 years ago, the problem with men and women was always like, why does she take everything personally? Why is she so sensitive? She needs to stop, right? Like, she makes everything about her. I know you laugh because it's impossible, right? Tell a woman to stop, she'll punch you.
Like, some might
try to deny a woman her feelings. Right? She's upset. She's upset. And you go, why does that upset you? She'll want to kill you because you're literally rejecting her as she is in that moment. Men don't know this,
right?
Because we're our brains are compartmentalized. I have a hard time with that.
We want to fix things. So men want to fix things, and sometimes women.
Our brains are in compartments for men. So what we do is, like, when something bothers us, you put it away in a box in your head. Don't let that bother you. My father could die, and it's very upsetting to me, but I had to keep working because I had to feed my kids and pay my mortgage. Okay, put that box away, and I don't think about it. I go work, right? It's a survival instinct from cave era, caveman, cave woman. Like, the hunter, in order to survive, has to not let things bother him. Where the gatherer, everything comes at her. Everything makes her feel good and bad, right? So that basic understanding is important. So back in the days, 10 years ago, it was all about men understanding women, women understanding men. Like, mm-hmm. the hunter not understanding the gatherer and what motivates each, and just making each other wrong for this. Okay, so that's mm-hmm. easy to teach, right? When you go back to instinct and survival and anthropology, it's very easy to explain. And then you can make peace with, oh, that's why he does this. That's why he's, oh, that's why she says she needs so very little. Oh, right, because she'll make meanings out of it one way or the other. So close the gap, dude. Talk to her. Talk to her. Stop with the stoicism. She needs connection and conversation, and she doesn't understand your actions, your words, or your lack of actions and words. Anyway, so that's one angle. But what happened about 5 years ago, I want to say, a little bit, the past three, insane. And it's worldwide from what I see, is that's not the derailment with men and women. Now it's that equality crap. Because,
well, it's the world's gone mad. It's come from something, but they've taken it too far, like everything. They see a problem, they make a decision, that's the problem, and then they go too far. That it's like, whoa, hold on, come back.
Right. Because everything, for me, like, I understand the difference between men and women. We're actually completely different. And that's the point. That's nature. Everything is nature. The masculine and feminine is nowhere the same. They don't act the same. They don't behave the same. They don't carry themselves the same. They have different roles. It's complementary to survive, but they're not the same. But mm-hmm. we decided we're smarter than nature, and we're going to bring men and women in equality, empower women, strong, independent, powerful, like a man. So masculine mm-hmm. women are better. Okay. Take the man and go, you're toxic, you're too, you know, you can't, blah, blah, you can't control everything. So sweet, sensitive, vulnerable, passive, that makes a better man. Really?
No.
It does not, right? But the idea of equality, so on paper, it sounds good, right? Like equalizing the playing field so it's more fair. For business and money, absolutely. In relationships, No. It's terrible. And it destroys everything. This is why everybody's struggling, right? We make men into women, women to men. It's already difficult with nature. Now we go backwards. How's that going to work? It doesn't work. And this is a disaster. So that's now the fires that I'm putting out. Like, this madness has to stop because it's destroying families, period.
Yeah.
Creates divorce.
But do you not think it's more political? I mean, because it is. It just seems like...
Absolutely a political pace, and really ultimately now, if you know, people that call me, I don't care, because I know this from the research as well, right? There's a conspiracy to destroy the world as we know it. And the best way to do this, the best way to ruin any society is to destroy the family system.
Yeah.
And that's what we're seeing, right?
And divide.
And then divide in every way possible. Men, women, black, white, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Poor, right? Educated, yep. Uneducated, and then everybody's the enemy. And as long as we're fighting, the agenda is going on behind us and destroying, like, families. And what, like I said, when men and women can't come together and build healthy families, that then allows them to raise healthy children, we can go into themselves connecting and be able to build healthy relationship with other humans as they grow up, then have the family of their own to continue having healthy children. When you take that apart, there's no more families, society disappears, falls apart.
Yeah. Right? And everyone seems to have lost their identity. I mean, oh dear, don't get me started on the whole gender
thing.
It's just, come on. Like, why can't we celebrate our differences? Trying to merge everybody into one and we're just a per, like,
it confuses everything, and that's the point. That's actually the agenda. Call me a conspiracy theorist.
No, I'm with you. I wear the badge with honor.
We all know what's happening, you know. It's the kids that got sucked into the system at school because they're indoctrinated with little, and in the universities, they're completely asleep with their both fingers up their nose. Right? The rest of us who have a bit of a brain just go, you guys, but it's my daughter came home one time with, you know, Dad, that's now 72 genders.
And
I just like, I got purple, and she's like, don't worry, Dad, I don't buy any of that shit.
Goodness. But this is the thing, your kids could be, it's not just about what they're getting from home and what their parents are teaching them, because if they're going away and the peer pressure and the teaching and everything, it's brainwashing, isn't it?
It's gone just
crazy. But so if people want a happy, healthy relationship, there's nothing wrong with having that masculine energy with the feminine energy and coming together. Right? What's so wrong in that?
It goes back to what the topic and what I teach. Nothing I teach is my opinion. It's nature. I just teach nature. Right? We study nature, the system in nature. There's always in nature, everything is polarized. Everything that grows, everything that expands, everything that flourishes, right? Everything that multiplies is polarized, masculine, feminine. Positive, negative, yin, yang, black, white. You can't have one without the other, right? Mm. Up, down, left, right. It's all the same. So everything in nature is polarized, but everything that's living is polarized. Nowhere in nature does a male look or act like the female of the species. It's true, right? They're different completely to come together to procreate and make more babies. That is the point. Right. But somehow we're better than that. We're going to go against nature. Well, and with the price that I see, you can go against nature all you want. Like, I'm like, you be you, right? You believe all that bullshit. You be you, that's fine. But
don't force it down everybody else's necks.
Well, not only that, that's one narrative, but the idea of, like, you could be you, but there's a price to pay when you go against nature and everybody gets a square in the face within 10 to 15 years. You go against nature, go girl, go boy, right? Then you're going to be talking to me and you go, God, I should listen to you 15 years ago. Mm. Right? I'm saying, because this, you go against nature, it'll cost you, right? Men are lonely, women are lonely, nobody's getting along. Single family systems where the kids suffer and the kids without a father, we know the numbers are terrible. 90% of men in jail comes from single family homes. Mothers can't raise children, men. Men need their fathers to teach them, to raise them, to be appropriately masculine, to use a proper use of force, right? Masculine is forceful, but it's a proper use of force. It's a toxic way, and it's a non-toxic, right? Men calibrate young men. Men raise young men to be good men, to have character, to have to be accountable. Respect and all that stuff, to protect, to provide, to cherish women, right? That's men teach young men to do this. Without a father role model, these guys turn out to be like mother too much. They become feminized.
Yeah.
They're literally castrated. They don't know who they are, and they act like girls. They talk like girls. They're sensitive like girls. They bitch like girls, excuse my French, right? But in that, and they don't understand why women don't want to be with them, because women, that doesn't make a woman feel safe. You're softer than she is. Right. And but they think they're better than the rest of the men. I'm sensitive. I listen to women. I'm kind. No, you're a bitch. right? Seriously, no, because they're very arrogant.
But it has, it's just everybody not wanting to offend anybody. And the problem is that it's being seen as a negative. And it just, everything seems to have been flipped on its head. And yeah. If you have that outlook, then you're misogynist, or you're that, and it's all gone crazy. If you don't adhere to that. So, listen. I mean, in your opinion, you know, what is that the, would you say the number one problem? Why relationships are failing these days?
That's it. Women are like strong, independent, and powerful. I don't even know men, and men are dangerous and toxic. And you can't count on them. They cheat on you anyway. So you go, girl. You know, build a business, make some money, you know, and protect yourself. Except that's fine, right? Again, that's in the culture. That's how we raise women to be first. Like, never mind, you know, marriage and kids. That's ridiculous. We don't do that anymore, right? You're so much more than that. How many times did I hear this? Women telling other women, you're so much more than this. Nice. But what happened is, this is my life. Right? This is not a hobby. This is what I do. This is how I pay my mortgage, right? This is my business. That women will go into blindly following their parent, their mothers, their culture, their teachers, right? And just go girl first and forget men, and maybe later on. But by the time they get to be about 35, we now know that money and career does not make women happy. No. What makes women happy is relationships, love relationships, all the relationships around them. When that is in flow, women are happy. Money doesn't do it. And by the way, working like a man, fighting like a man, conquering the business war like a man, kills women's health. So part of that stress, part of the stress that happens to women's bodies is you're not built for this kind of pace. Men have testosterone. We're built for the race. You're not. You're jumping in the race, you know, like a Formula One race with engines and cars that go 400 miles an hour on jet fuel, and you step in the race with your Toyota Camry with four cylinders, and you think you're going to, you know, you're going to go and make some loops, but the engine's going to blow up very soon.
Yeah. And but this is all ego. This is all ego. I can do this. I can be like that. Yep. I can be as successful in this environment. But
nature
can't women still be successful without being like that, still being true to themselves?
And they get sick. They get physically sick. We now can't call that kind of lifestyle, like to have women in high stress level jobs and pushing and conquering, acting like men in the world. We call that now cancer training. It kills your body. Chronic fatigue syndrome is out of stars, you know, and then you can't sleep or stay asleep. This is your nervous system jumping. And next thing you know, you develop some kind of disease. This is everywhere now. Basically, cancers and breast cancers are a huge one. It's all stress related. It's all lifestyle related. Not wired for this. So now so my assistant is 27 years old. She wants 3 babies and a husband. She can't say that out loud. Women attack her. Girl, we got to talk. There's something wrong with you. You're better than being a slave to some man. You know, and popping babies as some kind of Neanderthal. And she's like, can you guys just drop dead and fuck off? Excuse my friend. Like, can I be my life? Can I choose my own life? But it's so.
Yes.
She now can't say it out loud. She goes, you know, she's just out of universities and she can't say it out loud. So she has to be quiet.
And that's the thing. It's almost, I suppose everyone's being conditioned to, this is how you should be thinking. This is what you should be going into, and then they feel like they've got to go into that.
Instead of, you know, like I said, like it's and the women who don't want to do this and follow the tidal wave of this insanity are traitors to the sisterhood of independence. You don't need no man. You know, ladies, it's a disaster. Every one of my clients has actually kind of realized, I don't want this. I'm tired. I want to be loved. I want companionship. I want a man to take care of me. I want a man to cherish me. I don't want to come home to an empty house. I don't want to have to pay for everything. I don't want to be everything on me. I want to relax because that's what
and I
wants.
Think everybody secretly wants that. It's all bravado.
Yep.
It's all bravado. Every human wants a companion, don't they?
I know, absolutely. And there's a lot of data on this. Both men and women are happier, live longer, make more money, are more creative, are more fulfilled in life when they're in healthy relationships. Both men and women. Men want relationship as much as women want relationship when they, you know. It's just that, again, the culture has everybody believe that men don't want any of this. Men just want to have sex. That's ridiculous. You guys, wake the hell up.
Yeah, but
right?
that's the portrayal at the moment. If you're going to show up, you know, as a masculine man, then that's how you are. There seems to be, it's either one way or the other. There's no in between. It's no, you can still have the masculine energy and still actually respect a woman, but what's gone on? I mean, I know it's the youngsters coming up with.
It's madness. Looking, but that's there are ways it's cool that way. It's just every social media on every platform and every movie.
Yeah, social media.
It's ridiculous.
Social media and porn and too much this and too much that. And
all of it.
They've got a distorted view of women and then a distorted view of how a man should be and how they should be with a woman.
All of it. So what's not popular now is everything that was classic, standard, and normal is now stupid and, you know, old-fashioned. And everything that's weird, bizarre, makes no sense, anti-nature is now the right thing to be. Okay, let's see where that goes.
It's crazy.
Let's see where that takes us.
And how is that working?
Yeah.
Are you happy?
And this is what happens. My clients, right, mostly women, you know, get it. Like they've done the go-girl shit. They've done the don't even know man shit. They've done the business stuff. They're tired. Some of them are stopped by their bodies. They can't work like this anymore. They can't sleep. Right. So one thing I say in this factual, that women have proven they can do anything. You've proven it. You've proven this in the mid-60s. You can do everything. Except sleep.
But do you want to? Except sleep.
Because you can't, that lifestyle with that, this is where you know your nervous system is jumpy. You can't sleep or stay asleep anymore. And if you sleep 10 hours because you take some sleeping pills, you wake up and you're still not refreshed. It's called burnout syndrome. It's all over the place, everywhere. Pay attention. Yeah. But, you know, nobody wants to talk about this. When I said that to my assistant, who's also works really, really hard, she's like, I don't like that. That's how come I can't be like a man? I don't like that. I go, well, blame God. Like, that's nature.
Yeah.
You're not built for that.
It's the way.
You can hate it.
Who wants stress? But, I mean, even the men working too much, stress is not doing their health either any good. And so women, and that makes a lot of sense, that women are going to be suffering a lot more. Don't feel like you've got to keep up. So for you with your program, so we talked about it right at the beginning. Explain to the listeners, what is it you do and what is it you offer and how do you get people from point A to point B?
Well, it's very interesting. You know, the people that come at me are people that I call ego dystonic. Well, I have a sense of that. Ego dystonic is you're a woman living like a man, like living through your masculine solely, because we both have both, right? Mm-hmm. Except a woman should live through a feminine more, and then her masculine is the other part of her that manages life and goes to work, right? So it's not a 50-50, and it's 75, 80 to 20, 25, you know, so you have to have, we both have both. But if my clients typically are ego dystonic, where they live mostly like men, and they have no access to their femininity anymore, and which derails them completely, ruins, and then just sort of destroys. It's overwhelming, and it kills them. And again, it kills relationships. Men don't want to be around that. Men are interested in masculine women. You know, hunters don't date hunters, right? That energy, your masculine energy is disrespectful to his. He's the man. Nature, again, he wants nothing to do with masculine women. So masculine women end up with what I call boys. These are the soft ones that we create on the other side, who don't want to work, who don't want to take care of her, who don't want to marry her, who don't want to make babies, who don't want to pay anything, who move into her house and drive her car and borrow money. They say they're going to pay it back. Never do, right? Those are boys. Those are the toxic ones, not men.
Yes.
So that's what's happening, right? So my clients are masculinized, typically per life's settings, right? No daddy, bad daddy, alcoholic daddy. There's always trauma in childhood. So we start there. We have to go into where the wheels came off for you to be so masculine and how come you lost complete touch with your feminine identity. And even with the ones that are feminine at their core, who have been knocked out of this, they can't find men. They can't sustain relationships. They attract the wrong type, boys. And men, but the men who do everything, men who want to provide, protect, cherish, and give to women, want nothing to do with them because they're masculine. So we start with that, cleaning up your baggage. We have to clean you up your baggage. I can't get you in a healthy relationship till we clean up your crap. That's essential. So we have to start there. What happened to you as a child? Where, you know, did you have, you know, was your father around to make you feel safe? If not, you end up having to provide your own safety and man up as a 5, 6, 7 year old. And there goes your life. Not your fault. But we understand what happened. Oh, and it's fixable because it's fixable. This we could do with training, with a little awareness, recultivate your femininity so you can step back into your essence and then actually live like a woman, be happy like a woman, be connected like a woman, be warm, radiant like a woman, you know, bring joy and life and inspiration to the masculine because that's what the feminine does. So back into your essence and all of a sudden men show up. It's magical.
Right. But this is all coming from fear, isn't it? It's all coming from women are thinking that they've got to deal with everything themselves because they can't count on a man.
Right. But that
comes down to them.
And it starts in childhood. It's either no daddy, bad daddy, alcoholic body, single mother, right? And mom teaching, you don't need no man, be careful, make some business. You can't count them, you can't trust them. You know, there's plenty of proof of that everywhere. But the people that are screaming the loudest, 15% of broken women, are polluting the sound waves for everyone. And so after a while, everybody's had issues with men. It doesn't mean...
Yeah.
Right? That's not the belief of pace, right?
But that's so, always the way. It's the ones that speak the loudest and
make all the noise,
complain about everything, and you know, it happens in all areas as well.
Absolutely. So what it creates is complete, you know, chaos, and women can't trust, can't be vulnerable, can't let go per their childhood and the system in place. You can't trust men; they're toxic. You know, you don't need man until they need man. And they realize 35 to 40, all my clients.
I'm 51. I'm single. Well, I'm not 51 yet. Actually, I'm 50. Right. I'm 50. Beautiful. I'm back single.
But I mean, like, you know, and I've had my clients that just like when they understand, when we take off the trauma, then we kind of rehabilitate them. Is that the way I won't put it? But I bring you back into your body. To be masculine is to be in your brain. And in your head. To be feminist, be in your body and in your heart. Masculine women live up here. That's why they're confused. That's why they talk so fast. That's why they're busy. That's why they're anxious. That's why they're overwhelmed. And they lose track of their radar, which is in their gut, the divine radar to help you with life and know what feels right, what feels wrong, what you should pull towards. They get in their heads and they're completely confused and they try to explain their feelings with their logic, which makes them illogical. And we look at them like, what the hell is wrong with her?
And it sounds crazy.
It sounds crazy. They think they sound crazy as well. We all, right?
And yeah.
So you have to move out of your head if you're feminine.
Yes.
And you go into your gut and get into your body. And then that sort of brings the radiance of the feminine forward. So learn, would take off the baggage, step into a bunch of small habits, daily habits to get you back into your body, out of your head. Your energy changes. You start radiating. You're happier, you relax, your muscles chill, right? The tension releases, and all of a sudden, men smile at you. And women, you know, the cashier is like, hi, how are you today? Like, everybody becomes like, the feminine energy is magnetic and warming, and it's inspiring and uplifting. So it affects everyone, especially men. But if you practice putting that forward, you will see your life and your reality completely change. Men start smiling and pay attention, real men, not boys. Different story. You're changing the energy. You change what you attract just energetically. Women are nicer to you. Children smile. Dogs come sniffing. Like, feminine energy is magnetic. It's insane, the power of that. That's really your superpower, not your balls. No one cares about your balls. No one cares about your balls, especially not men, right? You're irritating. You're super irritating. You go, girl, get the hell out of here, you know? So my ladies, what I train them, I don't untrain them to be it's powerful, by the way, right? It's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying, like, destroy their masculinity.
Yeah,
everything
sure.
They build. That's not it. It's just, this is over-calibrated, right? That you're like this.
Yeah.
You know,
you're out of balance. Like,
so now we have to cultivate your femininity and know how to be which when. At work, It's fine to be masculine. You need to be masculine. You're doing stuff, right? You're building, you're producing, you're competing. Fine. But what I say is, this is my line, leave your balls at work.
Great.
Leave your balls in a desk drawer, because you show up, most of you with badass, I'm all this, walk around putting your balls in everybody's face all day long. And in the world, you go on a date, you put your balls in his face. I'm a CEO. I'm going ahead. I'm making 100K. That's not why he's there. That's not.
No.
Put your balls away. A man is looking for a woman. Masculine men who want family, children, and protect women are looking for the feminine energy, not balls. But nobody's getting this, seemingly. Like, nobody's getting it. Well, after all I've done, like, that's fine. Put that away. Leave that at work. Where's the woman? Let's cultivate the woman back. And again, my clients, within a year, as I told you, I'm ordained minister, right? I marry them quickly.
Wow.
Because they become such a unicorn in our culture, really, because they know how to be feminine. They know how to pull back. They know how to stop throwing their balls forward. They put them away, literally put them away when they don't need them, which is when in the world and dating. Men find them fascinating because feminine women are actually now rare, and they get taken off the market in a few months. A year later, they're married. And I have one in 14 months, got married and is now pregnant. That was her live stream. Before me, no dates. Invisible to men.
Right.
Masculine. Masculine,
because they've got the wall up. They're on the defense.
The wall's up. It's too masculine. It's not looking up and understanding how men connect. And not, so that's part of the training. Is after we get you back into feminine, right? Watch men react and the world react. We need the world changes around you because of what you're emitting energetically. It sounds bitty woo woo, but it's just what it is. This is fantastic.
But it's simple. It's all energy. It's all energy. It's all vibration.
That's it. Everything. We're all just energy. Everything is just energy. Everything is energy in nature. Everything that's happening is energy. It's energy. So your energy creates your reality. And these women now attract masculine men who want feminine women, and they go, "Where have you been all my life?" And they take them off the market. And these guys want to be married. They have their shit together. They have, you know, they're confident. They have character. They want wives and children, and they put a ring on it.
Right. Like it,
so amazing. So my work is fantastic. Is like I go from women who are confused and sad and feel they're going to be alone the rest of their lives, and I go, no. You put the work in. You just don't know. Back to what we're talking today. You don't know how to be feminine. It's not your fault. Let's take the baggage off, and then you don't know anything about men. If you understand this, right?
It's all misunderstanding.
But more it's like, right, women don't know what men want. What makes a man commit? You don't know. Now, men can't explain it, by the way. Men are just reactive. Men respond to women. Like, you're yes or you're no. Why? I don't know. She bugs me. Like, they go on a date. How'd it go? She was lovely, but what? She's just something off about her. You know, she was irritating, or she kept asking questions. She never stopped talking. I couldn't put a word in. Like, she was beautiful, but you know, they're always the same thing. But, because the man is there for a purpose on a date. He was going to spend money. He wants to find out who you are. If you don't let him, it's irritating. But women don't know this, right? They approach this like a job interview. I don't want to waste my time. So, you know, how do you do? And where do you work? And what kind of car do you drive? And do you like your mother? And he's like, fuck this. But women think they're being smart, not understanding a thing about men, the way men date, why they date, how they date, and how to build that dynamic and what makes them commit. And men, like I said, men are responsive. They don't really can explain it. They're just like, you're yes or no. That's it. I know. She was cool for a while, right? But I don't want to be around her anymore. Dated for 3 months, 4 months, 6 months, right? She doesn't get me. She's trying to correct me. She's trying to change me, right? The ultimate disrespect. See ya. Find somebody else who, you know, will match what you want, because obviously that's not me. And men walk away. And we're like, women create that story over and over again.
Well, it sounds like we're trying to put that. That's what we think that they've got to go through, because there's a defense. And I suppose anything that we do, if we go at it from a state of fear, it ain't going to work out
ever. Ever, because now you have an agenda. Your agenda is, we'll get this.
This
is psychology 101. This is one of the basic things. As human beings, we think that we make choices. You know what I mean? You choose to do whatever you choose, right? You choose the man, you choose the job. Right? Because of our past and the imprinting years between 5 and 11 years old, when we make decisions about the world, ourselves, people, and life, right? If you believe that you're not good enough, if you believe that, you know, no one cares for you, or the world is dangerous, or men are dangerous, or whatever, whatever belief system that you even forgot about is in your subconscious is now driving the show. Those are the lens through which you see the world. So we don't, I'm going to say this, we think we make choices. We don't. We're completely asleep to our subconscious that's driving 90% of our lives. It's absolutely. we don't do what we want. We recreate what we know.
Yes.
And this is why you find yourself in the loop, the same type of guy every single time. How come they're always douchebag? I always say, I don't want to commit. It's you, baby. It's you. You're attracting a type and because you are a type.
That's it. You just, it's the nail on the head. It's all, when we realize it, it's us that's got to get out of our own way. I admit it. I know.
It's always you,
I know.
I know. A common denominator, right? It's you. It's not them.
Absolutely.
It's not all men. It's not all women. Men do the same thing. It's not all women. It's you. Yeah. So the smart one.
So own
realize,
it. Own your shit.
Well, yeah. The smart
own
one.
Own
it. Get
Step
it.
Up.
Yeah. The smart one get it. Like, oh, shit, it's me. And they come look for help, somebody like me, and then understand the crap, remove the baggage, learn to step into where they want to. The character they need to be to attract what they want, and then step into very clearly knowing what they want, the future that they want, companionship, marriage, kids, or whatever, right? Or just some people just want companionship, they want the marriage. But how do you make that happen? You have to know men. Men are the buyers, right? You're the sellers. You have to know what the buyer is looking for, because you're trying to sell him your shit. He doesn't want your shit. Like, he wants the way he wants it, right? Like women, like I'm all that, and he's gonna meet me up here. Get the hell out of here. That's not how it works. Men are like, get away from me, but like, meet you up here. What the hell does that mean? Right? Like,
it's just you. It sounds like from what
ego.
You're saying, it's just
ego.
You. Yeah. All ego. Well,
all
it's all ego. All ego.
And, he needs
and
to
like you say, we need to go into our heart. You know, we all need to go into our hearts and just be us and not be,
exactly.
Again, it's a defense. Look, I know I've had defense up.
It's
I've had walls up. I've had piss off written on my forehead. When I go.
Yep.
I'm not ready.
Yeah, no, I mean, we read that right away, right? 3 seconds.
Yeah, oh, I know. Totally. Totally.
3 seconds, men
totally.
Pick it up. Not available.
Totally. Yes.
Don't
Switch.
Even try. Don't even
yeah.
try. Don't look over here. Not interested.
Nope.
Got it. And then they go, nobody pays attention. Nobody's talking to me out. I go on one date, it doesn't call me back. What's wrong with me? Unavailable.
Yes.
Broken, bad attitude, shit attitude, don't need no man. Okay, you got it. You're winning.
Yeah, there you go. You get what, be careful what you wish for.
That's what you think, right? What you freaking got going on in here is what creates your reality, not the world.
Right. Well,
we could do this.
Thank you for that. Well, I've learned a lot there as well. I mean, I knew it about myself anyway. But
it's fixable.
So for people, it's all fixable, all solvable. So for listeners out there, how do they find you? How do they get in touch?
Okay, so let me put it this way. I have a gift for your listeners. That's okay. I have a gift.
Cool.
Is that cool? So
typically
people who listen to podcasts are two types. There are people who are looking for information and the people who want to work, like they want to get results, typically. So I'm going to give you my email for your listeners to email me. So if you go to andrecoaching1@gmail.com, and if you want more information, just put in the subject Irresistible Book. And I want to send you on me, people purchase it, but I will gift it to your listeners. It's a book that I wrote called 5 Feminine Qualities High Value Men Find Absolutely Irresistible. Beautiful stuff for free. So gift number one for people who want more information. If you want to step in, if you want to know more, if you're curious about something I said and you want to talk to me about it, then you know, you'll be a little bit more brave. andrecoaching1@gmail.com, and in topic, just write talk now. And what I'll do is I'll send you a link to my calendar and I'll set up a Zoom call, like this call right now, Zoom call, and we'll take an hour to talk about what's your challenge, where you're stuck, what's not happening, the loop. You just heard me talk about the loop, right? Like, you start feeling desperate that this is the rest of your life. It is, if you don't do something about it. So where's the loop, where the wheels come off? In 10 minutes, I'm really good at this. In 10 minutes, I'll be able to pinpoint where in your childhood that happened. Then you realize there's something wrong with you. It's just your result of your past. So we know what happened. There's nothing wrong with you. You're not broken. This is just like what happened. So from now, this place today, now that we could fix this, what is the dream, right? What is the dream? What is the dream? What is it you want, right? So then I discussed different ways to work with me, you know, small, medium, large, extra large, into stepping into the work and doing your work, stuff that I do. So that's my offer. Either's are great. One is more active. The other one is more stepping in, dipping your toes in. But I encourage anybody to really, you know, get brave. And this is who I am. Like, I'm not scary. A lot of people are like, this is really scary to get on a phone call with a guy. Like, no, this is who I am. This is actually going to be very informative. It's very informative. It's very fun because I it's easy. It's just so easy, right? It just kind of explains.
But we take it all so seriously. Everybody takes it all so seriously. It's your life, like chill.
But I'm gonna tell you, for some people, that's that phone call changes their lives. The understanding of their lives, you know, whether they're ready to step in or not, they kind of right to understand. There's nothing wrong with you, as opposed to thinking there's something wrong with you because you're like whatever age and you still can't make this happen, and your mother's like, "What's wrong with you?" Everybody's like, you know, like. There's nothing wrong with you, Jack. So that is, it's just a liberating phone call. So I'm encouraging anybody to do it. And like I said, we'll talk about it and see what you want to do. I mean, I'm busy, so I don't need to sell anybody or anything. I'm here. I'm offering this. Do you want it? Come and get it. And then fantastic. So we'll squeeze you in somewhere because I'm busy, but it's really fun because in the end, I'm going to tell you this, I'm going to Las Vegas at the end of next month to do a wedding. And I'm flying to goosebump every time I talk about this. Goosebump. I'm flying to Texas in the end of May to marry another couple that I started working with a year ago, like a little bit over a year. It's always the same thing. So that's why I live.
That's
for.
Rewarding.
That is what I can forget the business, forget the money. Like that moment, you take this man, you take this woman in front of God, from not knowing how to do this, being desperate and lonely, and thinking you know there's something wrong with you, to like. Understanding, learning, and doing it because now you get it. But you understand how that works. Men, you know, so, I mean, this is the greatest honor. Like it's beyond just a ceremony. It's the biggest honor for me to be the guy in front of their family to put them together. It's just, I'll
imagine.
I'll fly
well,
anywhere.
You're thinking such, you've just affected their whole life. So you're truly on purpose. But it sounds, your story, I love your story. I mean, we've spoken before. I love the fat Paula Abdul. Yeah, my favorite choreographer. I just love that.
I love that girl too.
So I knew this was going to be an interesting, albeit some controversial, but I'm with you there. There's just too much on the... Like, come on, guys. Let's go back.
my favorite thing to do is, you know, I'm not here to tell anybody what to do and how to live. That's not my business. It's not my business. It's not my job, right? But like, I want to sound the alarm. Like, forget the culture.
Yeah.
Forget
where are we mother, going? Where are we heading?
Well, as a person, as a woman, as a man, like, forget the culture. Forget your freaking school. You know, teachers who like completely try to destroy everything that makes sense. That is normal. Forget all that crap. What do you want? Do you want to be, you want to build a relationship or not? Right? Do you want family and kids? Well, step into that as opposed to ignoring it, thinking maybe it'll fall on you one day. It won't. You know, a relationship is like getting a job. You have to go and audition, right? You have to step in and apply and find out. And so there's a process of you need to spend some time to fine tune the person you want to be with. That means you have to date. Date. That's how you find out character in people, right? Being face to face, talking to them, and then figure out what works for you, what doesn't work for you, right? Both on both sides. But I sound the alarm, like, you know, if you want to build something permanent with somebody, you got to learn, and do not let anybody tell you that you're crazy for wanting to be a mother or a wife, right, or a husband who's traditional. Okay, this is my last bit, and I'll let you go. Are you ready? So this is the worst thing that I see. This is the stupidest thing, if I may put it this way, that I see. That, you know, when we give women the choice, you know, the choice for everything in the, you know, with the feminist movement, right? The feminist movement is always about giving women choice, right? Not only a wife or a mother, but you could be in the workforce. Choice.
If you want. Yeah.
Beautiful. So it started like this. It was started with a really good idea, except that transfer, feminists 2 and 3, went too far. So now it's not even about choice for women. There's no more choice for women. You have to go to work, period. Otherwise, you're less of a woman. ladies at school, when my kids were little at school, the ladies who stayed at home mom could not say that out loud either. They were strangers.
Well, many can't even afford to do it now, so they forced a change.
But the women who could afford it couldn't say it out loud. The women hated them. Right? Like they were lazy and less than a woman because you're just like counting on, get the hell out of here, right? I have three kids to take care of. Get the hell out of here. Right? So this that kind of conditioning of if you want to be a mother, if you want to be a wife, go do it. Forget your culture, forget the belief. It is the tidal wave of crap that's out there. Men are looking traditional men. So as much as women had choices, men never had a choice. It never changed for men. A man has to go to work, has to build his character, has to build his confidence, has to build something, has to be valued to society, to culture somehow, to be respected by both men and women. So man's role has never changed. Women still expect men to be traditional, to provide, to protect, to give, to cherish, right? This is still to say nothing has changed for men. We still have to pull up and do it. But women want traditional men, but now in our culture, we teach women and women don't want to be traditional women. Mm. And they don't understand why men don't want them.
It's just all got, and like you say, all these things start maybe with a good
intention.
It was a good idea at the time. There was a good, but it, like we said right at the beginning, it's just gone too far.
Right.
Let's come back a bit.
Right. And like I said, and I'm going to say this really simply, if you want a traditional man, which is what traditional men do, everything right, build, provide, protect, give, cherish, build a castle and a kingdom to put a queen in and put his arm around the entire kingdom with everybody he loves, that's his kingdom. Traditional men want traditional women. You want a traditional man? You got to become a traditional woman. Forget your culture. Forget go girl. Right, to a point, you can do it all in pieces. It's part of the work that I do. It's not about not being a professional woman. It's about doing it in different steps that they teach
balance.
You. And it's balance. And a truly happy woman has it all. Family, relationships, you know, and a career, all in balance where she can be both able to be present, nurturing, not overstressed, and still contribute to society. My wife's life is that, you know. So it's doable and it's a lot more fulfilling and that allows families to grow.
So you can have it all.
You can have it all. Not the way they teach you. Not the way they teach you out there. That's what I'm going to say. There's a way to do it. But again, ladies, right? You want a traditional man, you have to act like a traditional woman. So watch out with your party life and, you know, like having fun like men and having sex like men. And that's all going to come to haunt you because, you know, it's interesting. Women marry men for what the future that they could bring, right? A good guy who's on track for, you can see the future, right? He's got his life together. He's building a business, right? So his future life is appealing to a woman because he could keep her safe and the children safe and fed, right? So women look for good men for the projection of the future. Completely makes sense. But men look for women spas. Who are you? How many men have you been with? How many times have you been run through? Right, because if you've been run through more than the Holland Tunnel, you're not wife material.
Yes, right?
And then you're left behind, right? So that's again culturally. If you want to be, if you want a traditional man, be careful how you live because your past will haunt you. This is what I do, right? I see it every day. So, you know, I was young, I was stupid. That's an excuse. Men will hold you accountable for your past. You act like a hoe, you're not wife material. Even if you say, if you're a born-again Christian, it doesn't count. It doesn't work. No, it's too easy to say. Your history is what I'm looking for, just like his future is what we've been looking for. I'm just saying.
It's all out of whack.
We could do this all
day. It's been fascinating talking to you. Thank you so much for your time. I know you've got you've got the rest of the day because you're over in LA. So have a wonderful day. And guys, I'll be back on Monday with Coffee with Karen. Bye for now.
Coffee with Karen podcast, a weekly chat show discussing everything from holistic health to current affairs from a mental, physical and spiritual perspective. Get your weekly cup of positivity with a sprinkling of woo-woo.